Hello and welcome to Connectivity 236. I'm your host, Nicholas Bray, and once again, I'm joined by Zachary Miller.
Hey.
And Curtis Bonds.
So, chunks, huh?
Okay. Right, so...
That's been kind of a meme on Tumblr for the past, like, couple months. It's just a gif. It's gif of one of the little penguins in one of the galaxies of the, I think it's like the Beach Bowl galaxy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And if you just walk by him, he'll just say, "So, star chunks, huh?" But it's like, instead of star, it's like the little star bit.
Yeah.
So just the phrase, "So, chunks, huh?" is just such an out of context quote. Or just a passerby to say.
It is.
So, yeah, that's been kind of an in-joke, I guess.
Well, anyway, once again, yeah, we're going to talk some Mario Galaxy as a bit of a follow-up to the last episode that we did on Galaxy. But before we get into all that, I thought, yeah, we would take a look at the talkback thread because we had a question/reply in the talkback to the last episode. So, Zach, do you want to read the question or comment?
Sure. The question is from MASB. I don't know if that's MASP or all separated. MASP writes, "Super Mario Galaxy is a strange Mario game in that I won't say it's forgotten because that would be untrue, but it doesn't seem to be talked about as much as other seminal Mario games such as Mario 64, Super Mario World, and Super Mario Bros. 3. Does anyone else think that is so? And if so, why do you think that's the case? I would add Sunshine to that list of not often discussed Mario games."
That is a good question. Like, I get what they're talking about. I mean, the people in my, like, circle of friends, like, absolutely love Galaxy. But, yeah, they don't really talk about it in the same way they do, like, Mario 64 or Mario World or 3 or even, like, yeah, 3D World or Land.
True.
But I think maybe the case is that it's so unanimous that it's really good that there's like no kind of like there's nothing around that game that like causes any sort of like I don't want to say controversy.
Yeah.
But like any like kind of like conflicting opinions about it. So it's like,
right,
when people talk about it, it's just like, yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's good, huh? Yeah, it's really good. So it's kind of hard to, but like with something like Mario 64, some people say, oh, that didn't age well, or Banjo-Kazooie was better, or like Mario Sunshine, where it's just people, that's like probably the most divisive Mario game, or with like 3D Land and 3D World. Hold on, let me silence my phone. It's, those games are good, but they're like, they're not exactly.
You can have opinions on them.
Yeah, you can have opinions on the quality of those games or, like, the direction of those games of how much they've, like, really advanced the Mario formula.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And same thing goes with, like, New Super Mario Brothers. People have strong opinions on those, whether or not they... If people feel they're quality games, but they're not, like, you know, these just leaps, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like Mario Galaxy is one of those games where... It wasn't exactly a leap, but it didn't matter that it was a leap because it was just so good. So I think it's mainly because everyone's in agreement that those are quality games.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, it's just not much to say, not much to discuss.
Yeah, I've thought about this like a little bit in like before. I think maybe Galaxy is really good and like there's definitely elements like levels that people sort of remember, and obviously the music is also a big thing with when talking about Galaxy, but it does feel like, I don't know, it's not quite as overall, like it's not quite as memorable as some of the other Mario games. I don't really know why that is. Like there's not like, I don't know, maybe it's because the levels are all so close in like terms of quality and design that there's not like as many standout, like, you know, like everyone's got the classic Mario 64 levels in their head, like Womp's Fortress and, you know, all those sort of ones with like bristling with personality, but at Galaxy sort of like is all, it doesn't have as many highs and lows. It's sort of more like a really good level throughout the whole thing in terms of like where you're visiting and what you're doing. So maybe, it sort of just like washes over you a bit more as like a, as like a whole, and you don't tend to remember a lot of the smaller details, which, you know, I replaying it this week, there are like levels and stars that I've forgotten about. Like, oh yeah, okay. I forgot.
Yeah, me too. Lots of this game I forgot about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's not like really like knocking against the game at all. I think it's just, we remember certain aspects of it rather than just like, oh yeah, this is like, oh, I remember this wall or how I have to get up here or whatever. It's just, it's such a straightforward experience, I guess.
Mm.
Whereas I think it's just, you know, like you said, the music is really good. And I think like, if anything, people just really, really remember the music of this game more than it, more than like the level design and stuff like that.
I think, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, so I think it's just people's memories of this game are just more oral as A-U-R, not like oral as in mouth. But
I have two answers. One is that Galaxy is far enough back that most people probably have not replayed it. Whereas Super Mario 64, of course, is released on every virtual console and everyone replays it as soon as they get it. Mario 3, Mario World are all released all the time and they're easy to get into. One of the reasons Sunshine, I think, does not get talked about as much is because it's only been on GameCube and we all played it once and said, that's enough. But
actually, I don't know if people, I don't know if that's entirely true with Sunshine.
No.
I feel like people do actually talk about that game way more.
I think they do, but I think they talk about it from a point of nostalgia.
That and, like, people will always debate all the time the merits of Super Mario Sunshine.
Yes.
So, like, the point I was making earlier is just, like, there's a discussion around Mario Sunshine every now and then.
Mm.
So
I agree.
When it's brought up, it's just, like, people are just always debating, oh, that game fucking sucks. excuse my language. But some people say it rules. I'm on the fence of thinking that game rules. But I think it's just, it gets brought up more often than Galaxy because of that debate culture behind it.
Sure. Mm. And the other answer I'd have is that Mario 64 felt like a cohesive experience, and Sunshine did too, but Galaxy feels very, especially as I get deeper in the game, very disconnected. And it's kind of meant to be that way, but even within a specific world, like, my example today would be the ghost world. I forget exactly what it's called, but you're doing all sorts of stuff that don't have anything to do with that central mansion. I think that's just kind of a problem, not necessarily a problem with the game generally, but you certainly don't go into a level that has a theme and stay there. You know, you'll go into a level that has an overarching theme, but you don't stay in one place for more than 5 minutes, and every star is completely different.
I wonder if it would make the game like stick out in people's minds more if, say, like, in the small hub areas, they grouped all the beach sort of looking galaxies into the one hub. They put like the ghostly ones all in the one hub.
Yeah.
Instead of like scattered around. But like, then you might run into the fact like, oh, I'm kind of sick of this aesthetic for like, you know, because it takes a little while to get through a few of the worlds, like the galaxies inside a world.
Yeah, I mean, that's been kind of how Mario games have been since like Galaxy. Like Galaxy 1, 2, 3D Land, and 3D World, like, all the, quote, worlds of those games don't really center around, like, a central theme.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, in Super Mario 3D World, like, there are, the worlds do have, like, an overarch, like, the layout, like, the map screen is a little theme, but it's like, the levels are just a hodgepodge of different kind of types of levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, yeah, that's just, it's kind of started with Galaxy with just, you know what, we have a cool level design, let's just freaking make it. Let's not confine ourselves to a theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that's probably why it feels so disconnected, because they were just like, they were just throwing every idea they had to the wall and just made it.
And then, of course, you have to have 120 shines, which means that you're going to have some stuff that maybe feels like filler. And some things that honestly start repeating themselves, as we'll talk about.
Which is, probably a good note to sort of leave that section of the show with that question. So thanks for, writing in MASB. And, we'll just move on to what we were playing this week with Galaxy. So, Zach, why don't you start off? Where did you sort of get up to, and, like, what are your general thoughts on some of the levels you've played recently?
I got to the Ghost World, and I beat the rock boss.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw the Bouillabaisse Galaxy. And the Bouillabaisse Galaxy, pretty much as soon as I started it, I thought, I've done this before in the Good Egg Galaxy. So I actually just stopped playing. And I didn't get every star in every world. Because I was trying to just get through as much as I could. And you're right from last time. If you get, you'll collect all the galaxies you need if you don't even get all the stars in a in a given area. But I really liked the seaside, the Beach Bowl Galaxy.
Yeah.
That was really fun, and it was kind of
it's one of those sandbox sort of levels.
It was more of a Mario 64 level. But I did not like the one-off galaxy where you're hunting eels with the turtle shells. No part of that felt natural or good. I don't know why.
Yeah, it just seemed so weird that was just its own galaxy.
Yeah, it could have been a shine in the Beach Bowl.
In the Beach Bowl galaxy, yeah. Because, it was the same characters, the big penguin and the little penguins. And inside a giant, sphere of water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, why is this its own galaxy? Yeah. I'll take another level, but it's like, this just seems weird to be like kind of a one-off, like extra thing.
Yeah. The Ghost Galaxy, I didn't like it at all.
I didn't mind it. Just, I think I only played a few stars on it though, but, the thing that annoyed, I started noticing on this playthrough is, and it's, an example in that ghost level, they have, a little prelude, a little section that you, it's basically all you do is run forward or something and then jump in a star and be shot to the main level. I mean, it kind of just started getting annoyed. Why didn't you just plop him down in front of the levels where, I don't need to do this every time.
Yeah, and... The Ghost Galaxy is another galaxy where, I was saying last time, you keep doing things. They don't just give you the shine. You've done all this stuff, and they keep shooting you to different areas. That gets old.
You save Luigi in the first.
You do save Luigi. Yeah,
it's meant to be. Forgot about saving Luigi. Jeez, that's not important.
I like the Luigi one because it uses the Ghost Boo, which is. Kind of like using the invisibility cap in Mario 64.
Mm-hmm. I think in this current run, I've used that power up twice.
I've only come across it that one time when I was saving Luigi, and I had one of the boos fall in love with me, which raises very, very many questions. It was is the boo falling in love with another boo, or is it falling in love with Mario? Is falling in love with the fact that he looks like Mario, or
it's like that scene in Sword in the Stone, the old Disney movie Sword in the Stone, where Arthur is a chipmunk and the other chipmunk falls in love with him, but he's actually a human, and her heart breaks, and it's so sad.
Yeah, what a weird movie that was. Sorry to go off on this.
No, it is totally a weird movie.
it's called the Sword in the Stone, but it's the Sword in the Stone only appears in the very beginning and the last 5 minutes of that movie.
Yeah, the whole movie.
The rest of that movie is just Merlin dicking around with a kid. Yes. It's just what is going
Arthur
on?
And Merlin having adventures.
Yeah.
I didn't, sorry to stray off topic there. That's what it immediately reminded me of. But, and I really like the ice flower. the ice flower is really
cool. Yeah, the ice flower is so cool.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I know from memory that that one is used more often than probably any other power. And I really like that power.
But yeah, I really like running across the water and freezing it with the ice power. It's like really cool. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I've always had like an affinity for like ice-based magic and powers and stuff in video games. So it's just like, yeah, it's just for whatever reason, it's just always so satisfying to use.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, yesterday I only really started playing the game again yesterday, and I was at about 32 stars yesterday, and today I beat Bowser, so I'm at 62 stars
nice.
Now. And I reckon I only played, I don't know, 3 hours over the course of yesterday and today.
Okay.
So, like, I don't know. I really got up there pretty quick. Like, I was just picking stars that sort of I wanted. If I liked the level, I would continue playing the stars in that level, or I'll just, like, move on and just sort of pick and choose a bit. Like, I completely skipped over the desert, dusty dune galaxy. I started it, and then I just kept stuffing up the spinning tornadoes that fling Mario into the air.
Yeah, I only did one star in that galaxy because going on the polar opposite, literally, of, I guess, I don't know if that's technically correct, but of like how much I love like ice and ice magic and levels in video games. I hate desert.
Yeah, I don't like desert levels in either.
Video games.
Yeah, the desert levels so in like, Mario are never the best ones.
Yeah. I mean, it's still good, but it's like, yeah, I'd rather go to anywhere else but a friggin' desert level.
Yeah, because I kept stuffing up the jump near the beginning. It was like, you got to try and, yeah, get into the tornado.
I did that too.
Yeah, and I kept missing the part to land on by just like a few millimeters, and I kept falling into the sand and dying. So I was like, I don't need to play this. I'm just going to move on. But, yeah, so the rest of the levels in the bedroom hub world is like Gusty Garden Galaxy, Freeze Flame Galaxy, which is really, I really like that one. So it's like the ice and sort of fire areas. And then you've got, yeah, the desert level and the one-off Honey Climb Galaxy, which I played that this morning, I think, which is just like you're the bee and you just got to keep sort of going up, up, up until you get to the top of this honeycomb thing. And it's not, and then there's like Big Mouth Galaxy. I don't think I played that one. I think it was one of the ones that's like locked for a while and just opens up later. Then you got Bowser fight. But so yeah, Gusty Garden Galaxy is like the one that's probably the most memorable because it's sort of the level with the main sort of galaxy theme, I guess, like the one that everyone
knows.
It's
definitely the most grandiose of all the music tracks in the game.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's just like it's the go-to song when people talk about how great the soundtrack is. And it's like with good reason, because it's just so like, it's like I said, it just grabs you and it's just like, yeah, you're playing Mario, you're in the galaxy, yeah. And it's just so triumphant.
Yeah.
And just awesome. It just makes you feel good. It's like,
I remember really liking like this level and that back, you know, 10 years ago when I played the game. But like replaying it now, it's like there's not much to it. There's like very segmented this world, like this level. Like it's all very like platforms and you sort of jumping on vines and spinning on those floating like flower things that help you float across. I don't know. Like it's good, but like yeah. It's like not huge.
Yeah, there's not much to it. It's like I said, it's just literally the music in that level is what carries that whole thing.
Yeah. I kind of like the boss on this one, that one with the mole that burrows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
the mole's great.
Yeah, that's a fun boss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and Freeze Flame Galaxy, yeah, it's the one where you have like an ice section and you can ice skate and ice skating is really fun.
You know, seem to recall, I didn't get there, but I seem to recall having issues with the timer that's on the powers with that level.
Yeah, I did have a few issues.
It can be sort of tight, I guess, but like, I didn't really have any problems this time. Like, there's a bunch of things like that on this playthrough where I was like, oh yeah, I got stuck on this for a while last time I played this, and I beat it in like the first or second try this time. So I was like, I think, you know, the 10 years since Mario Galaxy, we've had all the other Mario games where they've had even more sort of tighter restrictions and like tighter, even tighter platforming, where it's sort of like Galaxy seems a little bit more like breezy now, like considering.
I just wonder why those timers are there at all, because like once you get the freeze power, that's how you get the star. It's not like you're not going to use it.
Yeah, I don't know. It always kind of weirded me out too that those were timed. Like, especially because they were never really timed before. Like, right. I mean, for the Fire Flower at least.
They'll time. And, well, they'll I mean, time the Mario 64 later though. On.
Yeah, they were timed Mario 64, and I don't know why they were either.
I guess
and
this
Yoshi
is to make
was
it
timed
harder.
In Sunshine. Mm. Yeah, it does make it harder.
Was Yoshi timed or
Yoshi was timed if you did?
Yeah, that,
you,
that's right. That's right. You had to eat like fruit. Grains over time.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah. You could keep getting. Yeah, you could refill Yoshi. But
I forgot that Yoshi was kind of timed if you didn't eat fruit. I guess I never really used him that much to really make a difference.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of shocked that the Fire Flowers and the Ice Flowers were timed, considering like not really like let's see the Boo's not timed. Was the Spring in this game or was that in Galaxy 2?
Yeah, that's in this game.
Oh, it is. In
okay, because I haven't gotten to this. I haven't
it's
gotten
not
to the
timed
spring
either.
Power,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like I wonder why. Yeah, I just wonder why those were timed and not the others. Because like when the levels that I've used them in, there wasn't really like any sort of reason to have them timed. It was just more of an inconvenience than anything else.
Yeah. I really
like
the...
you're not like breaking the game by having the powers or anything like that.
Mm.
It's just like, oh, okay, I ran out. I have to go back and get it.
Right.
Again. Great.
Yeah, I guess like some of the stuff in the Freeze Flame Galaxy with the ice power, yeah, there's like the timer, so you've got to sort of do some platforming quickly to, you know, get up in time. Like if you didn't have the timer, I guess like it's pretty easy.
they would have redesigned it.
Yeah. I guess, but like I don't know. Yeah, maybe they
they could have designed it where like they knocked you off after you hit them and you lost the power, then you had to go and get it again. But
maybe. Yeah. I don't know, yeah, maybe they liked having...
Maybe, like, put it in a different spot each time.
The time pressure, they thought was a good idea.
Motivator.
I don't know. Yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
On this level, too, I really like the Mario, Cosmic Mario Race. Did you guys play any of those, on this playthrough? Where you race the Shadow Mario?
I don't think I did.
But yeah, the Cosmic one, the Cosmic Race in the Freeze Flame Galaxy, was cool because... You got like the ice sections, and then you got like the lava sections, and like you got to like flip up. I think you got to jump up and onto the top platform to keep going, and the whole camera rotates and stuff.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, and to beat him, yeah, you basically got to like make sure you're ice skating the whole time, so really easy. But yeah, I like
that one was pretty simple. Yeah,
I like the. I don't know if I. There's one of the stars in the Ghost Galaxy is kind of a timed race across space with those blue stars that pull Mario in.
Mm.
That was a good one. I like mm-hmm. that. That made good use of the blue stars. It was kind of fun to play with the physics a little bit, of the gravity with those things.
I haven't gotten to that one yet.
I remember that there's a speed star for that one specifically. And it would probably be pretty hard. Cause you already have to do it in like under a minute 30, which is not too, it's not hard, but like you can definitely see where you might screw up on a timed one.
Yeah. Yeah. I played a few of the different Comet. Sort of variations and stuff. I didn't realize either you don't unlock the purple coin comets until after you've beat like Bowser the first time.
Oh.
They don't show up until then, which I'd forgotten about. And you can get that do you know the flying power up that you can get for the hub world?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get that like halfway up the to the top of the observatory. Like you can get it I thought it was like at the end of the game as well, but it's, you can get it earlier pretty much. Hmm. Like, it's like a small level you go into and you got to, I think you got to get the purple coins on that one actually. But
yeah. And doesn't that just really, practically speaking, wind up getting you like a one up in the hub world?
Well, it's easier to get to the top, I guess, without having to walk, run around and climb it.
Manually. Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
I think that's the only reason they put it in.
Okay.
yeah.
Have you gone through any of Rosalina's story?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I went through it all this morning. Did you guys go through it? You played it?
I went through it again on the internet because, of course, I didn't get the whole thing. But it's nicely tragic.
Yeah, Rosalina, she's looking for her mother with a Luma, which also looking for its mother. But it turns out that Rosalina's mother was dead under a tree the whole time. She was not out there. She couldn't be found. But yeah. And Rosalina cried star bits out of her eyes somehow.
Right.
The story's pretty sweet, and like it has a bit of sadness in the middle there and stuff, but yeah, that's pretty good.
And the illustrations kind of have a Yoshi's Island look to them, which I like.
Yeah, they're like these soft pastel stylized drawings, which is nice.
Yeah. Nick, remind me what the Bowser fight's like, because I remember it being very epic, but I don't remember anything about it.
The final one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically you've got like a whole prelude or like a platforming level beforehand. Then you get up to Bowser and then you do, you got to like, what was it? The first, there's like three separate battles you go through. So there's like one on a small planetoid where, you sort of got to whack him around. It's all very, it plays on the same sort of thing as before. Like you got to, You find a way to hit him or hurt him, and then you like spin into him, and it sends him around, and you got to keep bumping him. Yeah, and you do that like on three different planetoids, and the final one being the one that you'd played earlier, where you got to like make him crash land into the blue circles to make his tail set on fire.
Right,
and then you whack his tail and you fling him around and like spin attack him and stuff. It's not that difficult. Like, the platforming level wasn't really that hard either. I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure the final levels of some of the newer games, like 3D World, have more, you know, annoying platforming sections that are a bit trickier.
Oh, yeah. Even 3D Land had a pretty hard Bowser level at the end.
Mm. But yeah, it's pretty good. And then you get this little bit of a story, I guess.
Right.
The Loomers sacrifice themselves to save everybody.
As they do. As they do. Really, for the whole game, they sacrifice themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Loomers.
Yeah, that just seems to be their purpose in the universe. Yep. To just be a stepping stone for the greater good. Yep.
So, yeah, another couple levels I'll talk about. The Gold Leaf Galaxy, which is like a mirror reverse version of the bee level from earlier in the game.
Oh.
But it's set in autumn.
Oh, I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, it's like, there's different missions and stuff, but like they reuse the main like island from that bee level later in the game, but yeah, it's set in autumn.
Interesting.
And that's okay. It's got some cool twists on like it's got some cool stars, I guess. One of the ones is like, there's a bunch of rain clouds and you've got to use the bee suit to ascend like the tree basically. But like, because they're all rain clouds, you could get rained on if you're not careful and like lose your bee power.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool.
Okay. So, you know, here's, what I was saying earlier. I thought the Bouyabaisse Galaxy was already kind of reusing concepts from earlier in the game, but you're telling me now that the game is reusing assets from itself.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, maybe that's the only level that stars. Did that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but there are other levels that do the same, a similar thing. I know that there's kind of a revision of the space junk galaxy later on. And, or maybe not the space junk. It's either the space junk galaxy or the, kind of space armada galaxy. I forget what these things are called. From the second, hub. But, I think that, you know, that's a,
it's, thinking about the Dreadnought
galaxy?
Yeah,
maybe. It's a consequence of having to have 120 stars in this game.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to my point earlier, too, about, like, about how maybe they were, like, kind of throwing everything to the wall when it came to, like, coming up with, like, level themes and,
right,
like, challenges and stuff. They probably eventually ran out of ideas. Like, oh, crap. Maybe I'm not sure if it was a great idea to do this, but screw it. Let's just recolor this one level and just reuse his assets.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I personally don't mind it because everything so far has felt different enough. Like I've only played up through the bedroom hub world. So the last one I played was Bowser's Dark Matter Planet, so now I have that countdown of the stars to get to the center of the galaxy.
Dude, Bowser's Dark Matter Planet has the theme from the N64 Bowser levels.
Yeah,
and it rocks.
I love that song so freaking much. Just like it still just blows my mind that they just got an entire freaking orchestra for this game. And like hearing some of those old N64 songs done with like actual instruments is like really freaking cool. And like, and just how amazing everything sounds still just blows my mind to this day.
Yeah.
Like even 10 years later, it's just like, man, a Nintendo orchestra still just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Considering they were like even reluctant to use any kind of orchestrated stuff on the GameCube.
True.
Yeah.
I think it's just like we've gone so long with like MIDI or digitized music on Nintendo games, it's just like this. It's still crazy to think that there's just an entire orchestra behind some of these songs.
If I remember correctly, Galaxy was maybe their first orchestrated game, and they made a big deal about
that. I think it was. Yeah,
maybe. Unless you count Kirby Air Ride.
Oh, of course, everyone counts Kirby Air Ride.
Well, I mean, but yeah, I mean, like if you're talking about like an in-house Nintendo game, since it's a HAL game, so I'm not sure if that. But yeah, I think this is like an actual in-house Nintendo game. I think, yeah, this is probably the first where they used an actual orchestra for
it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember back in the day when G4 was still around. There was this review show on there called, what was it called? Judgment Day? Well, it was called Reviews on the Run in Canada as well.
Hmm.
It starred Victor Lucas and some of you might know Tommy Tallarico.
Oh.
Who's a guy that runs Video Games Live, and he was, like, super, super obsessed with a game having orchestrated music, to the point where he would actually dock Nintendo games back in the day for not having an orchestra there. So it's like, it always just cracked me up. It's like, whenever he would review a new Nintendo game, it's like, oh, what's he gonna say about the crap he made of music this time? And, yeah, needless to say, he was, like, completely satisfied with this when it came out.
It's funny to me that Galaxy is the game that they, you know, spent the money on orchestrated music, and thank God they did, but not Twilight Princess.
Yeah, Twilight Princess was a weird one for me, like, replaying that, because everything in that game was, like, everything about that game screamed, like, yeah, these are the best graphics, the most realistic, most gritty Zelda game to date, and it's still kind of using, like, digitized MIDI music,
right.
And it just, like, it always felt so out of place to me.
Digitized MIDI music remixes of Ocarina of Time soundtracks.
Mm. Yeah.
Not really. But,
oh, yeah. No. it's honestly been a long time since I played Twilight Princess, but I do remember that some of the themes, I was like, this is from Ocarina of Time.
So
I think there were probably a couple songs.
There's probably a couple of remixes in there, but... We're not talking about Twilight Princess.
No,
today.
No.
So no. I just wanted to mention, the next seaside level, Sea Slide Galaxy. This is one where, like, there's a... Basically, it's in a circle, and, like, it's a tube of water in a big sort of circle shape. and there's a few landmarks here and there, like little islands and stuff. But basically the level's set up like that, so like you can race. Like the first star is you're just got to follow this. I think it's a shark character. Through like you got to he like drops rings and you got to like swim through it in time and like not fall too far behind and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the second star was you racing against like five penguins. I was like, okay, so this level was just set up for racing, and then that's where I think it falls down a bit in terms of design, because the remaining stars, like the next star after that is like you got to find the silver stars that are scattered around the world.
Oh.
I mean, and there's a lot of because it's like a, you can't really go across it. You got to go one way or the other and just like follow around the water and stuff. For that one, they actually put in a bunch of stars that fling you like halfway across the level, because, you know, it would have been too annoying.
Too tedious.
They had to add that in.
Yeah, I wonder if this was meant to be like a one-off galaxy.
And then they expanded it.
I mean, it seems like it's a kind of galaxy version of the slide in Mario 64.
Well, it's not quite like that. Like, it's flat, but yeah.
Yeah. The race aspect, but, with the penguin.
Yeah, I think it probably would have been better just to do two stars on this, the two race ones, and not really, like, because there's six stars on this. You got a cosmic race, and you got the purple coins, then you got something else I'm not sure of. He's hungry, I'm not sure what that is, but yeah, so that one, like, you got the nice, like, seaside aesthetic again, but, like, it's sort of a step down, I think, compared to the other seaside levels in the game.
Mm.
Another cool one.
It sounds
one.
Like a step down from the Ray Racing, which is so far my favorite star in the whole game.
Yeah, and actually I found out, they reprise those later. You can unlock another version of that.
Nice.
So you get another rolling galaxy with Mario like on top of the ball. You get something called Bubble Blast Galaxy, and you get the Loop to Swoop Galaxy again. Which is like a new level, which is cool.
Nice.
So one of the last levels I'll talk about is Matter Splatter Galaxy, and this is one where there's like bits shooting down and like illuminating parts of the level where the floor is and stuff. So you can otherwise it's not there, and you like doesn't
right. There's a ghost. One of the ghost levels does this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was playing that ghost one that had something kind of similar to it, and I always thought that was, like, one of the coolest uses of it's hard to say really using, but it's one of the coolest effects.
Yeah, it is really cool, and, like, it's, everything's sort of moving about and stuff, and it is easy to, like, stuff up your jump. You're like, oh, damn, I shouldn't have jumped so early. Pull straight through.
And other Mario games since this concept have used it as well. I think it's also in 3D Land and 3D World.
Probably. Is it? I think World pretty for much sure. Everything.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah,
I think pretty much everything from the Galaxy games, like from Galaxy onwards, they've reused concepts and stuff, like maybe adding a new twist or making it harder or whatever. But
yeah,
a lot of the rehashing
Nintendo.
a lot of the gameplay elements that they made for Galaxy have shown up in more condensed forms in like the 3D Land and 3D World games and stuff. And if you get all 120 stars, you get the Grand Finale Galaxy, which is sort of a disappointment in this game compared to like what we would get later with an actual full brand new level. In Galaxy 1, you get basically, you go back to Toad Town and Peach's Castle and you got to collect 100 purple coins and that's it.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's not really a level, it's more like... Yay, sort of like a victory lap, I guess. But...
well, yeah, you only got to play this level for 5 seconds the first time, so here's a whole
thing. Yeah, I mean, it's really nice to look at the town. I really like the look of the castle area and stuff in this game. But would have been cool if they made that an actual level, like more of an actual level.
Yeah, I don't really remember too much about it myself. Probably because it's been so long since I'm trying to even remember if I even 100%ed this game back when.
Oh, really?
I mean, I sure did.
The game.
Yeah, same.
I certainly did it with Mario Galaxy 2. I got like everything that was in that game.
See, I struggled to get the green stars. I still got to do that in Galaxy 2. I haven't got the green stars yet. Cause...
yeah, I think like one of the first like streams I was doing on Nintendo World Report was probably doing all those green star missions.
Yeah,
because like I never ended up finishing that, and was like, oh, I'm with this site now. Maybe people will actually like watching me suffer through some of these missions, and some did.
You know, I got Galaxy 2 on the Wii U because it was one of those $10 games.
Yeah.
And I stopped pretty quick. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, something about it. I don't know. It.
See, it, like, you didn't play Galaxy 2.
It's clearly a better game. That's
out.
The thing about it. There are parts of it that are so much better. I guess I just got, maybe I, we were we in the throes of Mario over Marioing, you know, was this a time when New Super Mario Brothers was out, and I don't know when it came out on Wii U.
I think that was like the first Wii game that came out on Wii U, wasn't it?
It was either that or the Prime Trilogy, yeah.
But yeah, Zach, you didn't play Galaxy 2 on the Wii when it first came out then? You waited until later?
Yeah, well, I think what I was originally doing was waiting until it dropped in price. Silly me. And then it showed up for $10 on Wii U, and I was like, all right.
Hmm.
Okay. January 14th, 2015.
Oh, so that's only like two years ago.
Yeah. Hmm. Was it really that late in the game that it came out?
Must have been.
I thought Wii games came out on Wii U, like, way earlier. But no, that can't be right. No, because the Virtual Console games didn't come out until pretty late, too, so... yeah, So maybe just people are just kind of... yeah, so Smash Brothers came out in, like, 2014.
Wow.
Was Captain Toad a 2014 game as well?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember playing that when I was staying with my grandpa. And, yeah. So, yeah, Captain Toad came out. And I think, yeah, it's just like, I think everyone is just so busy with, like, so many other games.
Yeah, that must have been it.
Yeah, because, yeah, January is not always, like, the best time for, like, you know, best time for new releases.
True.
I guess.
But, yeah, Zach, yeah, I know a few people that, like, just skipped Galaxy 2. I don't really know why, and it seems like all these people... don't want to go back now and play. And I'm like, you've got a great game just sitting there, you're not playing. Like, why? Why don't you want to play more Galaxy? Because, like, yeah, Galaxy 2 is way better than the first game. I think all the levels are better. I think they're more tightly designed. There's some real hard levels in Galaxy 2 later on.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. I remember when I was playing it, in, I guess, 2015, good Lord, it was a tighter level design, and you got through stages faster.
Yeah, the pacing like had amped up a bit compared to the first Galaxy.
Yeah, I should go back and play that game.
Hmm.
And I really liked being on Yoshi. Yoshi controls really well.
Yeah, Yoshi was definitely the best part of that game.
Yeah, using the pointer to grab onto stuff with his tongue was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's basically Galaxy. I think we've spoken about quite a few different levels and sort of ideas and stuff. Overall, yeah, Galaxy is still a good game. But yeah, I think playing it now, it does feel, yeah, like, I don't know, it does feel easier, less sort of impactful. I don't know if it's because I'd played it before, but like, I'm surprised that I hit 60 stars with like probably under 10 hours of play. This time, like, because I have a memory of it taking a while. I don't know if last time, like, when I played it back originally, I was holding off to beat Bowser until I'd gotten more stars. Like, I might have, like, beat Bowser for the first time when I hit 90 or something, because it felt like a longer slog back then, but...
Well, I remember when I first played it, I was super OCD about it, and I would not leave a galaxy until I had all the
stars. That's how I usually play Mario games. Like, I'll do a whole section and like do as much as I can, and then if I oh, let's sort of exhaust it and then move on. Maybe that's why, because this time I didn't really care. I was sort of like, oh yeah, I'll play a bit of this, a bit of that, and just move forward.
Yeah, I'll usually alternate between playing the Mario games like that. Like, so, like some playthroughs, like, okay, I'm going to get everything I can in, like, each one before I move on. And sometimes it's just like, you know what, I'm going to try and beat this as fast as I can just as soon as I get the stars to unlock the next door or dome or whatever, I'll go on to the next one.
Yeah.
It's always fun, like, mixing it up like that.
Well, I noticed during this playthrough that, as opposed to when the game first came out 10 years ago, my God, life gets in the way a lot more. Having a game that's not as snappy, and it's also not a game you can play while, say, your wife's watching something.
Yeah.
And you can't really play it. Like, there's only one way to play it, and I think in today's day and age, that hurts it from a convenience standpoint, for sure.
Mm. Yeah, honestly, the Switch has spoiled me in that regard.
Yeah, yeah, I mean...
I think it's only a matter of time until we get an HD collection. I think 2 years from now we'll have a Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 HD on Switch.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I think they need to give Odyssey a bit of breathing room, but after that I think they'll throw that in.
Mm-hmm. I would really like that. But yeah, Odyssey is, I mean, it's a game I'm going to be able to play wherever I want, and that's a really cool prospect. I mean, that's how I played, how I got like 150 hours in Zelda, by playing it everywhere I friggin' went.
It's gonna be a game I could play wherever I want and just like stop whenever I want. So, and like not leave the console running like all night. And if I'm not at a place where I can save.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's the main thing too, is just like, listen, I've been so spoiled by the Switch and just like being able to suspend anywhere I want and not have to worry about like wasting energy or wasting the battery or whatever. When it's like with Mario Galaxy, it's like, man, I kind of forgot how much of a commitment some of this stuff can be, where it's like I can't just let it sleep.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like it's, and like again, with like the sensor bar too, and me being in this stinky studio apartment, me having to like kind of adjust how I play games, because I've always just been like kind of playing at the side of my desk and just, you know, playing with a regular controller, not having to worry about pointing it exactly at the sensor bar, where now it's just like, oh crap, I have to back up now here, and
yeah,
like it's not in the sense, and like the sun's shining through my blinds and it's screwing up the IR sensor. It's just like, ugh, how did I play like this before?
Yeah, that's definitely.
But then again, I remembered. Oh yeah, I was living with my parents where they actually had a house. Right.
That's definitely something I noticed, is that when I didn't even wasn't conscious of it, but there's a way I sit on the couch for when I play a Wii game. Like it's dead center.
Do you lean your forearms on your knees a bit?
I do. I absolutely do. Or I lay back, sit back on the couch and put both of my hands on my legs and kind of toolbox it.
It's just funny you say that, because I do that, but I also sometimes find myself, I've brought the nunchuck and Wii Remote right next to each other, so I'm almost holding it like a regular controller.
Like a controller, yeah.
And then, like, I'll try and wiggle the Wii Remote and hit the nunchuck, like, oh, damn, whoops.
One thing I will say about this game is it has a very clean, simple control scheme that I really appreciate.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know that's a small thing, but...
I totally agree. They've never made
a complex Mario game control-wise. And I worry a little bit about Odyssey with this. But
I think
there have been, like, complexities in Mario controls, but they've always been, like... They've always been complexities in the sense of... you approaching this thing more efficiently if you can master it.
Yeah, or timing your button presses right.
Yeah, timing your button presses right, like, you know, being able to manipulate it in the right way to, like, you know, get through things quicker.
Yeah.
I think it's just there's all, but Mario Galaxy doesn't really seem to have that same kind of, like, complexity compared to, like, Mario 64 or Mario Sunshine.
Oh, that's true.
It's just a straight up, shake, jump, and jump off walls. But there's not, there's like, I mean, there's a few things, you can still like triple jump and all that stuff and wall jump and stuff like that. But I feel like you are less reliant on that sort of thing.
And you're still just like pressing it's the less necessary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just a lot of that stuff just seems to be less necessary than ever.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed replaying Galaxy for like, properly for the first time probably since like 2008 or 2009 or something.
Yeah, probably me too.
Replaying it, like certain levels, like sort of took me back to when I was playing it in 07, like revived memories and stuff. So, oh yeah, that's what I was doing this time. Just random thoughts coming to your head, like there, these little mini levels sort of, you know, do stand out, I guess, like in a way, like if you haven't played them for a long time, you can evoke new memories and stuff, old memories.
Oh, yeah.
Which is cool. It's like listening to like an old song.
Yeah.
You know, be taken back.
It's weird to think that I was in this house when I had Super Mario Galaxy. I would have been, I would have just recently, maybe a year in this house, but when Twilight Princess came out, I was in a two-bedroom apartment. And I'll always remember that.
Yeah.
I have been in, let's see, so 4 different places since Mario Galaxy came out.
Wow.
Huh?
I say, wow, moving sucks.
Oh, I thought you said how. no, my parents have been in radio my entire life, so a lot of times they've, like, you know, kind of move them around to just kind of fix up radio stations that are kind of in the dumpster.
That's cool.
Yeah, so like so my mom works as a promotions director, so it's like if a station's not doing well in like Spokane or like Monterey, California, wherever, it's just like, hey, we can move you up here if you just save our station from failing.
Good deal.
So yeah, we end up moving a lot.
Okay,
then I think we'll wrap up the episode here. So thanks guys for coming back and doing another Mario Galaxy cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
I think maybe for the next show, like, depending on how much, we might just do, like, a brief sort of initial Odyssey impressions if you guys are up for that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to do that.
So, yeah, it'll be, Odyssey's coming out in, like, what, next week, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
God, it is, isn't it? Shoot.
Yep.
Oh, yes, that's going to be after my credit card cuts off. Hell yes.
Right when I get paid,
yeah,
too.
Radio. So yeah, if anyone wants to drop us a comment or question, you can email connectivity, which is connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, or throw something in the talk back, or even hit us up on Twitter, which is @connectivitynwr. Alright, so yeah, thanks again everyone, and until next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.